Welcome to Healthy You, brought to you by the Greater Peoria Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine. Now here's your host, Kim Brooks Miller.
Hello and welcome to Healthy You. My name is Kim Brooks Miller of Healthy Cells Magazine, the Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition, and it's terrific to have you joining us today. Today we're going to talk about hope. We have covered a lot of other topics over the past months on the show, but hope is a bit different. At some point in your life, hope is and will be important. It is something that is universally experienced by all walks of life and during all stages of life. Now, let's stop for a quick moment to define hope. And in a nutshell, hope is an optimistic attitude of how things will turn out or how one will expect things to turn out in a positive way. Our guest today will shed additional light on this topic and what it can mean to you as the listener. Now, to talk more about hope, we welcome our guest this morning, Steve Butis, who is the founder and president of Living by Your Design. And Steve has been on before, and he's written terrific articles monthly for Healthy Cells magazine. And also our other guest is John Halfley, who wrote the book, Therefore I Have Hope, and has a program called The Prodigal One. So, Steve, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
It's always great to be back, Kim. Thank you.
Yeah, and John, thank you for coming on. I know you're a busy guy, so...
Thank you for asking me.
This is terrific. So now, before we jump into the show, Steve, can you share with us about your business, Living by Your Design?
Living by Your Design is it's a referral agency. It's to help people when you have a time of crisis, or hopefully before that, to plan so you can avoid that crisis for a loved one, for a mom or a dad, aunt or uncle, or spouse himself. So the idea is to help people solve problems maybe before they even exist.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that, Kim, when you speak of hope, we all need hope. We all know we need help. But sometimes we get to the point where you can't see that light at the end of the tunnel. You can't see the hope out there. And those are people that we try to help through that process to see that light at that end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you provide also some educational help for folks too?
We do a lot of seminars, a lot of educational. We do write in Healthy Cells, which is very enjoyable, and those are all educational articles. But we give a lot of seminars out in the community that are based on, things that we might run into with people. You know, solving the problems of the aging process. Once again, the concept is to have hope and quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Steve, what kind of seminars do you do, just to give our audience an idea, so if they see something, they know to sign up or...
The aging process is one of them.
Okay.
And how to get through the aging process. What's the difference between assisted and supportive living? Mm-hmm. And the different types of community living that we have out there for seniors. We also deal with the financial aspects of how a person can position themselves to be most effective going forward and safe. Medicare, the direction of healthcare insurance, certainly is one that is very popular that we give.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of others.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I know, and I can attest to this, how much you have helped people that are struggling. They don't know what to do. And, you know, if they call you, you can give them assistance and help them to place Aunt Gertie or Mom, Dad, you know, whoever, and get the kind of help that they need.
That's the hope of the business.
Exactly. Now, speaking of hope, I think you have a couple of examples that you can share with us about hope through your business.
Sometimes when we run into people, we're in a stressful situation where people sometimes don't see that hope. They don't know what to do, where to turn. Their life is kind of collapsing around them. And one particular example, Kim, was a couple in Peoria. Mom was struggling a little bit. She was using a walker to get around the house. Dad's doing all the cleanup of the house, all the cooking, and taking all the caregiving. And it's 24 hours a day caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work for anybody. And you have a couple up in their 80s. And we got to the point where Dad did not see a way out of where they were at. He thought that life would have to go on at home like they were, and he would have to take care of all the responsibilities he shouldered everything.
Oh, wow.
And
so much stress.
So much stress. And he had no picture of how that could work on the outside, that certainly people were living in senior communities, but he couldn't be one of them. He couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
In that particular case, we were able to go in and talk about ways that he could afford assistance, whether it be in a home or, in his case, how he can move out to a senior community, have help for his wife so she's safe and has quality of life, and he would have the lifting of the full total burden of caring for her. And he would be there to assist her, but he would have assistance
mm-hmm.
with all of that. And there were programs in place that they could institute to help pay for that, and restructured their finances a little bit. And in fact, they were able to move into a senior community.
Wonderful.
And the neat thing about this is after he moved in, he talked about not eating properly at home, which he was struggling with that, but he was eating well-balanced meals. And he went into, within a week of moving out there, he went in and told the administrator of the complex, how good he felt about being there, and that he was going to go out and jog around the building.
Wow!
So that was real. And she called me with that information mm-hmm. about how their lives had turned around because he had the hope, and because he had help,
mm-hmm.
and that burden was lifted.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Steve. I think that is a very gracious story to show hope and how certain businesses like Steve's can bring hope when you think that there is not. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and talk with John Halfley about his book, Therefore I Have Hope. And we want to thank Steve Butis, the founder and president of Living by Your Design, joining us today, and also John Halfley. We'll be right back after this quick break.
My father is struggling with safety and his independence. He needs help and possibly to look at senior living communities, but I don't know where to start.
Hello, my name is Steve Butis with Living by Your Design. We can help families with situations just like this. Save them the anxiety and the time to get the care their family member needs and deserves. If you need guidance or assistance in making sound critical life decisions for your family loved one, call us today. 309-285-8088 or visit us at livingbyyourdesigninc.com.
The Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine is a monthly professional publication dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles. Healthy Cells Magazine brings you the latest information from respected physicians and other health-related professionals in regards to exercise, nutrition, emotional health, and overall current be-in-the-know related information. Pick up your free copy of Healthy Cells Magazine at over 800 medically related offices and retail locations in the Greater Peoria metro area, or find them on Facebook at Healthy Cells Peoria.
Welcome back to Healthy You. This is Kim Brooks-Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, serving the greater Peoria metro area. And we have two special guests with us today, Steve Butis, who is the founder and president of Living by Your Design, and John Halfley, who wrote the book Therefore I Have Hope and also has a program called The Prodigal One. So, John, thank you again for coming on air. We really do appreciate it. So what is the book about, Therefore I Have Hope?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. The book is my story. I'd made some bad decisions, hurt a lot of people that I love and care for, and it ended up in a 33-month prison sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I was sent 750 miles from home to a high-security prison where I would spend a year locked in a 6x10 cell. After a year, I was transferred to a lower-security prison. And the story is really about my family. We were 25 months separated, and hope kept us together, and hope pulled us through this time.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So now, how did you spend your time in prison, John?
Well, shortly after I was incarcerated, I was prompted to write a book. And this was way outside my comfort zone because I was far from being an avid reader. I never really liked to read books, and I was a terrible English student growing up. Yeah, an example of that would be one time I was asked to write a book report on the Scarlet Letter. And when I received it back, it was all marked in red with a D-minus-minus on it. And I think the only reason I didn't get an F was because I spelled my name right.
Oh, okay.
But on top of that, there was a face drawn, a sad face, tears coming down, and boo-hoo written next to it. So this wouldn't have been so bad, but I was in college at the time. So,
okay.
So obviously I was writing or anything to do with that was not in my future. But I decided to try to write a book. And I didn't know what it was going to be about because I didn't know what was ahead for my family and I. But I decided that I would let God lead, and I decided it was time for me to follow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And why do you think it was important to write a book?
Well, not only I think there's a lot of hopelessness in the world.
Amen to that.
Not only in prison, but outside of prison. You know, a lot of people are in their own personal prisons, whether it's illness, tragedy. So I just wanted to share a story to give people hope. One of the things that was very prevalent in prison was hopelessness. And one of my jobs that I did was a suicide watch, where you have a three-hour session of watching people so they don't hurt themselves. And talking to them, there was a common theme. They were without hope. And that's what led them to that decision. If you don't have any stories to fall back on when you were pulled through a situation, it leaves you hopeless. So I wanted to write a book to give those people my story until they had stories of their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. John, what kind of age group were you dealing with when you were in prison, when you were doing suicide watches? And
It was all ages. All ages, different stories. It was, in their 20s to in their 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was all different phases.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just see extreme hopelessness. You know, a lot of people, not as fortunate as me, their family left them as soon as it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to hopelessness. They have faith in nothing. Leads to hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe their situation, whatever sent them there, just tremendous, tremendous hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody says, I can't do it anymore. You know, mm-hmm. So like Steve talked about that darkness. You can't see the light. I hope my book may shed a little bit of that light.
Mm-hmm. John, let's talk just a little bit about your background, because you had family life growing up. I mean, it wasn't like you came from a super broken home.
Right.
Correct. So could you talk just a bit about your family life and what led up to all this?
Yeah. Great question. I was never raised to do what I did.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful mother and father. My mother is, I can't say enough to her. My father's went home, you know. But I wasn't raised to do anything like this. I have, wonderful family. But what happens sometimes is you just get caught up in something, you know, and you try a little bit of something and you maybe get away with it. It's like speeding. You know, if the speed limit's 65, you may go 67. Well, pretty soon you're going 69, then 75, and you're getting pulled over. It's just a little bit leads to more. It's just that's usually what it happens. It doesn't happen all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just can't say enough about my family life. But I was a normal family, college mm-hmm. educated. I just got lost, and a lot of people get lost.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think happened that made you get lost?
Just my moral compass was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I was desperate, and did desperate people do desperate things, and mine was hurt a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but through the book, through speaking and other things, I think I'm able to atone to some of those people,
mm-hmm.
Especially my mother.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right, right. Yeah. Now, the reason I bring this up is that so many people think that when you're going through situations like this, that people come from really broken homes and, oh, you can kind of see that pattern. But with you, though, it's different. And that's why I want to bring that to a
right.
point with our listening audience, because everybody is susceptible to getting off base. And like you said, it's just like with the speeding. But of course, I would be hitting 75, 80. sometimes I have the need for speed. I will say that. And I
right.
am a car person. I will admit that. My parents are probably rolling their eyes hearing this. But anyway, that's why I really wanted to make that point, is because it's the average Joe, you know, that can get into trouble at any time. And, you know, if your foot slips, it keeps going. And a lot of people think they can get away with something. They test the waters a little bit and, oh, nothing happened. But eventually, though, you know, your sin will be found, you know, as it says biblically. So now let's talk a little bit more about the book. What are you trying to accomplish with the book?
Well, Pastor Tony Evans said that tragedy is not the circumstances. You know, it's not allowing God to do something with it. So I'm just trying to find that one person that doesn't think they can go on and just give them that encouragement. You know, I'm out just to share my story. I think too much when you're down, people like to keep you down. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's just not enough lifting up. So I want people to know that it's not over. You're going to make mistakes. It's not over. Mm-hmm. And hopefully somebody can see my story or hear something and press on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of that, I would like to take a quick break at this point. When we come back, maybe you can share one of those stories with us that you experienced. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, and we have Steve Butis, who is with us, who's with Living by Your Design, and also John Halfley, who wrote the book, Therefore I Have Hope. And we're going to talk more about this book in a second. We'll be right back.
My father is struggling with safety and his independence. He needs help, and possibly to look at senior living communities. But I don't know where to start.
Hello, my name is Steve Butis with Living by Your Design. We can help families with situations just like this. Save them the anxiety and the time to get the care their family member needs and deserves. If you need guidance or assistance in making sound critical life decisions for your family loved one, call us today, 309-285-8088, or visit us at livingbyyourdesigninc.com.
The Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine is a monthly professional publication dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles. Healthy Cells Magazine brings you the latest information from respected physicians and other health-related professionals in regards to exercise, nutrition, emotional health, and overall current be-in-the-know related information. Pick up your free copy of Healthy Cells Magazine at over 800 medically-related offices and retail locations in the Greater Peoria Metro Area, or find them on Facebook at Healthy Cells Peoria.
And welcome back to Healthy You. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine. And joining me today, we have Steve Butis, who is the founder and president of Living by Your Design, and John Halfley, who is bringing his story to you through the book, Therefore I Have Hope. Now, John, when we left off, we were going to talk about an experience that you had that actually you wrote about in the book. Could you share one with us, please?
Yes. I met a young man, and we talked quite a bit, and he came to me, and he had no hope for the future. So we talked about I almost became a father figure to him. He would call me. He actually called me the pod father because we were in pods.
Right.
So anyway, I just tried to encourage him and, try to tell him it was going to be okay when he got out. And one day he came to me shortly before his release. To give you a little bit of a background on him, he was a college student, and somebody brought to light how he can make some money selling drugs, and it led to he had a prior offense. He went to college, and then he started doing this, and he was selling drugs, and he got caught, and it led to the second offense, and that's why he was there. Shortly before his release, he came to me. And again, he was just really, really hopeless. And he explained to me how if he was afraid when he left that he wouldn't be able to, to stay clean. And he said, one of the things that'll happen to me is before I reach the halfway house, a person will meet me with some drugs and a gun and an easy way to make some money. Mm-hmm. And he said, I just don't know if I can stay away from the temptation.
Yeah, did he use drugs himself too?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. But the temptation to make that easy money when you're coming out of prison, you're not going to have a lot of offers for good jobs.
Right.
And but he wanted to go back to college, and we talked about going back to college and how he can do anything. And we did get him going to Bible studies and things like that, so he would have something to ground his hope in. Because if you don't have anything to ground your hope in, it's
hopeless.
Yeah. So anyway, he came to me and he was scared. He was scared. So I just tried to continue encouraging him. I tried to give him enough of the word, enough hope that when he got out, he'd have something to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the word, you're meaning the Bible.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, good.
Because, and I assured him that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So. Mm-hmm. He was confident, and a lot of the people I met that I talked with, I may not know what happened, but I eventually will know what happened, and
sure.
That's enough with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's talk about your family a little bit. Tell them about us, and I think it's wonderful that you all stuck together during this tough time.
Right. No, it is. It's just another thing that's it's amazing. I have a wife and two sons. My wife, Julie, she had raised the kids, so she was home most of their growing up. And all of a sudden, she's in this terrible situation and she has to be the breadwinner. And I mean, it wasn't that we didn't have any time to prepare, because I went right from the courthouse to the county jail to 750 miles away about a month later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we knew it was coming. But she just is, she's the rock our family's built on. I mean, she's just a, reminds me a lot of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's just a wonderful person, loves her family, and, mm-hmm. and she stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
I have two sons that go to Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they just buckled down and did what they had to do. You know, one of the things when something like this happens, a father or parent goes to prison, the kids go the opposite direction.
Right.
Or the same direction, I guess, that I was going. They didn't do that. You know, they got made the dean's list. They did honor rolls. They did everything they needed to do to make things easier. And just, mm-hmm. I mean, they could have turned their backs and ran, but they stood by me, mm-hmm. you know, when I failed them. And I owe them everything. I owe them everything.
That's great. And one thing I do want to say is that actually John and his wife Julie are having a wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
And he said 26 years, right?
26 years.
Yeah. So congratulations.
Thank
that's
you,
wonderful.
Thank you. That's a miracle too.
Well, you know what? It is a miracle in a lot of ways, but to have somebody stick with you through that's really a big deal too.
Yes.
So
no, it's awesome.
Now, what happened upon your release, John?
Well, I went from Oklahoma City to Yankton, South Dakota, and I took a bus home, had a lot of time to think, and when I pulled up, my son John and Julie were there, so of course I met them, and it was a great reunion. I mean, never had a hug like that before, and then my other son, Nick, was working that day, and so I didn't get to see him until a little bit later, but it was wonderful,
mm-hmm.
you know. It was wonderful. Then a little while later, I got to see my mom. And the neat thing about her, there's a lot of neat things, but this was when this first happened, she wanted to know if she could send me Christmas cookies in prison.
Oh.
And I said, Mom, it wouldn't get past the guards and things like
They'd
that.
They'd eat them all, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the comfort food that you grow up with.
Right.
So it was the middle of June, and when she came, when I saw her after 26 months, and she came in, she had the Christmas cookies frozen and brought homemade fried chicken.
Oh.
So it was just so neat. It was so neat. But the first thing I needed to do after trying to get back with my family and get to know them again was I needed to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I ran into the same thing as a young man was going to run into. And I think a lot of reason people fall back into their old habits is because you can't find a job.
Right.
You have people that are more deserving. Everything I would go to, they'd say I was overqualified, and I would tell them I'm not qualified for anything.
Right.
So there's a struggle, and I think that's what a lot of the problem is. There's nothing for people to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So anyway, ended up finding a job cleaning buildings at night,
mm-hmm.
which gave me time during the day to finish up the book,
mm-hmm.
and also go out and knock on doors and tell people about the book and the prodigal one.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's great. Well, believe it or not, gentlemen, our time is about up. It goes so quickly. And, you know, you have touched everybody in many ways. Steve, through your business of Living by Your Design, and John, what you're doing now with the Prodigal One, your program ministry, but also, too, with your book, Therefore I Have Hope. Do you have any final words of advice that you would like to share with the audience who's listening?
Well, mine would be just don't ever give up. You know, surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up. And just never give up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And to have that hope.
Have hope.
Right.
And take a deep breath and realize there is hope. It's all around you. You have to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you find it in your spiritual connection or whether it's that deep breath that kind of cleanses things, there is hope. And you have to look for it, though. Mm-hmm. But it is surrounding you.
Right, it is. And, gentlemen, I'm just going to be very blunt and sane, and I you know, I think I'm in good company, but I have found my hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. So Amen. Anyway, I want to thank Steve and John for joining me. And your story is just quite inspirational, John. I so appreciate it. I know it's not easy to talk about. Now, if you have any questions for Steve Butis about his business, Living by Your Design, call 309-285-8088. Let me give you that number again. It's 285-8088, or you can visit Living by Your Design, Inc., allonewordcom, and you can find information there. And to learn more about John Halfley and his ministry program, The Prodigal One, you can visit John's website at The Prodigal One, all lowercase, and it's like the prodigal son, but theprodigalone.com, or you can call area code 319-382-0876. Let me give you that number again, too, 319-382-0876. And you can also pick up his book titled Therefore I Have Hope. So if you call that number, you can get that book or visit the website. It is a great read. And I want to thank everyone who tuned in this week and for sharing your time with us, especially about this topic of hope. We all need hope at one time or another. This is Kim Brooksmiller with Healthy Cells Magazine, hosting Healthy You. You can visit us on Facebook on healthycellsmagazine.com/Peoria, or feel free to contact me directly at peoria.healthycells@hotmail.com. I really do appreciate all the nice emails and suggestions and comments that you share with me. And also, too, if you want to pick up a past podcast, be sure to tune in to healthycellsmagazine.com/Peoria, because they're archived there, and you can also read the magazine online there and sign up for a free subscription so that you get the magazine delivered to your email every month, which is so cool. Anyway, we look forward to being with you again next Saturday. God bless you, and be in your best health now.